Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service here at Shotgate Baptist Church. Today is the 9th of August 2020, and this is another of our online services recorded remotely due to the current pandemic and social distancing situation. As you'll be aware, preparations are underway to try and put everything in place for us to be able to resume meeting at our church building for our worship services. And so we're working on that and working towards that. And we trust and hope that we'll be able to resume our services over at church. And for today's service, Louise is going to give us an opening prayer today as we begin this service. And I invite us to quieten our hearts and gather our thoughts as we come to the Lord in prayer, as Louise leads us in the opening prayer. Louise.
Good morning, everybody. Let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, your day. We thank you that we can be together in spirit, even if we're not together physically. Father, we pray that as we listen to the word that you've given Polani this morning, as we listen to some music, we pray that you would be with each and every one of us. We pray that you would speak to us through your word, help us to learn something new of you. And Father, may your presence be known to each and every person listening today. Father, we just pray for the situation at the moment with the coronavirus. We pray that a resolution will happen soon, Father. We pray that the virus would be gone, and that we would be able to be back together worshipping you in one voice soon. And Father, we thank you for the sunshine that you've given us this week, for this glorious weather, and for the things that grow because of it. We thank you for your many blessings each and every day. So we just give you the glory now, Father, and pray that you'd be with us in the remainder of our service. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Louise, for leading us in that prayer. And Helen is leading us in our praising and worshiping God in music today. Our first song will be Ascribe Greatness to Our God, the Rock. His work is perfect and all his ways are just. And we'll follow that with As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You, Lord. And let's join together in unity of heart and sing together to the Lord and worship God together in those songs as Helen leads us. Over to you, Helen.
Thank you.
alone are my strength, my shield. That line particularly blesses my heart. You alone are my strength, my shield. Thank you, Helen, for leading us in those songs. And as we have sung together and as we've worshipped and blessed the Lord with singing. We had a great service here last week when I had some time off myself. And thank you so much to everyone who participated in the service and put it all together. It was really a blessing. And allow me to make a special mention for a special thank you to Errol, who shared the word of God with us last week. As those who've been here at Shotgate Baptist Church for some time will know, Errol was the minister here at Shotgate, and currently he's the minister at Hendon Baptist Church in Finchley, North London. And as a church, we have continued to have a close relationship with Errol and his family, and we continue to pray for them, and we love them, and we pray God for every blessing for them in every way. Thank you so much, Errol, for your ministry to us and being used by God in that way, ministering a word in season on blessing the Lord. I also want to mention to us all that as we go through this series of reflections based on the Lord's Prayer and really focusing on prayer, maybe this is a good time to reflect, a good opportunity for us to reflect and revive and re-energize even our prayer lives. We also send out regularly the fellowship prayer list. And thank you, Pam, for doing that. I would encourage us to go through that prayer list and see what prayer requests are there or things to thank God for and so on, and participate in praying for those people in that list. That is one of the joys of being a church fellowship and being a church family, that we pray for one another. We lift one another up in prayer. We hold one another's hands and we pray for one another. The Bible exhorts us and encourages us to pray one for another. If you're not sure of what or how to pray for those requests in that list, or pray for anyone else for that matter, you could use written prayers, such as the Lord's Prayer itself, or could write out your own prayers, or use prayers from the different prayer resources that are available, and say these prayers while in your mind you are actively holding those situations in the fellowship prayer list. In that way, we pray one for another. One of the greatest things about the Lord's Prayer is that it's a complete prayer in itself. We can use it as it is, as a prayer itself. Sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation where we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Or some people may not be familiar with saying out prayers even, but they may want to pray. And so in those situations, for example, the Lord's Prayer can be a great way of praying, can be a great prayer to pray, to use and to read out and to pray out, whether in a group setting or as personal private prayer. And so that takes us to our reading for today, which Maureen is going to help us with. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, a passage that is often known as the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, keeping in mind that we are reading this passage in light of our theme passage of the Lord's Prayer, which is Matthew 6, verse 5 to 15. And so we keep that in mind as we come to our reading for today. And so over to you, Maureen.
Morning. Today's reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside,
and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maureen, for that reading. We continue our theme of Lord, teach us to pray, based on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gave that blueprint of prayer, and from which we can learn quite a lot about prayer and shape our personal and corporate prayer. When giving them the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said in verse 9, This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Over the past few weeks, we looked at the Our Father in heaven and the hallowed be your name parts of that phrase, of that opening prayer. Today we are reflecting on the Your kingdom come part. Your kingdom come. The notion of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is a very interesting and pronounced one in scripture, particularly in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew often uses the phrase the kingdom of heaven interchangeably with the kingdom of God, while the other gospels often stick to the expression the kingdom of God. These two terms are interchangeable, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Matthew 3 verse 2 says that John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus himself, after the temptation in the wilderness, and as he began his public ministry, as it were, it says in Matthew chapter 4, From that time on, Jesus began to preach, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, was the main theme of his earthly ministry. He introduced and inaugurated the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is the domain or the realm of God's rule, which Jesus said about it in Luke, that people will not say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. It's among you. It's in you. It's in your midst. The passage we are reading today in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5 is at the beginning of this lengthy discourse with Jesus teaching on various topics covering chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in the middle of this long discourse of teachings is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And so when Jesus taught about prayer in chapter 6, the teaching on the Beatitudes, or the way we are reading today, the Sermon on the Mount, would have been fresh in their minds. The listeners would have had this teaching fresh in their minds as it formed the introduction to this teaching discourse. It's often said that the Beatitudes were Jesus' way of saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. both as evidence of the kingdom of God, as well as giving aspirations to aim to for those who are in that kingdom. And so when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," in essence, we are praying that the Beatitudes are realized and are made manifest, both in our personal lives and also in the lives of others, in our community as believers, and also in the wider society. It would be a great society to live in, where such characteristics are the norm rather than an exception, where the kingdom of God is manifest. And as believers, notwithstanding our humanity with all its faults and frailties, we are called upon at least to aspire and grow towards these ideals. This is the idea of being Christ-like and to develop towards being like Christ. It says in verse 1 of our reading in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus sat down on the mountainside to deliver this teaching. The sitting posture in that tradition showed that the person was about to deliver a very important teaching or an important message. If someone was to teach something or was to speak something of great importance that they wanted their audience to listen to very attentively and very carefully, he would take a sitting position, take a sitting posture. And so when Jesus sat down to deliver this teaching, his audience understood this to be something of underlining that teaching as something to be paid very close attention to. And Jesus begins with theirs is the kingdom of heaven, beatitude in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, he concludes with theirs is the kingdom of heaven, beatitude in verse 10. As if to say that all these characteristics and these qualities that are described are a scenario where the kingdom of heaven is at play. They all pertain to the demonstration of the kingdom of God. He started by, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Being poor in spirit, meaning that we are to recognize and acknowledge first and foremost that we need God, that our spirituality emanates from God and leads us back to God, that our morals and our ethics emanate from God, they come from God, and they have to please God. Without God as the ultimate source and the ultimate goal, our attempts to do good have no compass, have no radar, have no true north to calibrate our moral compass. Living and walking in the kingdom of God is about acknowledging that God is the source and the enabler of us to do the good works and the good deeds that we may do, or that we may attempt and aspire to do. And so when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying that the righteousness of God, not our own because we have none, but the righteousness of God be demonstrated through us and in our community and in our society. That passage then goes to what could be called personality properties. These are personality properties and traits that display the kingdom of God. They reflect what the Apostle Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit when writing to the Galatians. These include meekness. Meekness is that quality or personality which includes self-control. This does not mean that one becomes supine and accepts everything that comes to them, but rather that even when one has to assert their position or disagree with the status quo, they do so without malice, without bitterness or vengefulness. It's about self-control and self-restraint. And how great a society we would have if these values and virtues were incorporated into our attitudes and our behaviors. When the kingdom of God truly comes, someone said, these are beatitudes, as if to say, let these be your attitudes, which I find quite helpful. Let this be your attitude. Let this be my attitude and your attitude. Blessed are the merciful, he said, or blessed are those who show mercy and generosity towards others, towards those who may need a little help and a little assistance. Lifting others up with grace when they are down and being supportive to them. And this does not mean that anyone should go beyond their means or beyond what they are able to do, beyond their ability in helping others. But as one big supermarket chain says, every little helps. So it's about doing whatever little we can do to help others when we can do so and when they are in need. This is another demonstration and characteristic of the kingdom of God. When it says, blessed are the pure in heart, it seems to go further than the superficial or the actions that people can do, that we can do, but that any of such actions or words need to come from a good place, from a well-intentioned heart and a well-intentioned mind. It's as it were a call to self-examination and introspection. The kingdom of God is demonstrated and displayed in the purity of heart behind our conduct. That all these fruits of the Spirit, as we model and display them in our conduct, we do so from a clean heart and from a pure mind, well-intentioned. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring peace in situations of strife and disunity, those who work towards reconciliation and harmony. And that is the kingdom of God at work. And so, this was Jesus saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like when the kingdom of God is on display, when the kingdom of God is alive and active in people's lives. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are praying that such be the case, that the characteristics and the character of the kingdom of God or the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in us, through us, and among us. Amen. And for our closing song, Helen is leading us in that hymn, well-known hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's sing together. Thank you. Thank you, Helen, for leading us in that lovely hymn. Shall we pray the Lord's Prayer together as we close this service, as a closing prayer for this worship service? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being part of this service, and may the blessings of God be with you always. And this is the end of our service today. Do remember to keep safe, keep in touch, and keep the faith. God bless you.